Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Doug Staggs is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, 17-plus years now. He's been hanging out with us. He's the original CPA in our Brain Trust. Doug, thanks again for being here. By the way, Doug has more recently become a full-time professor of accounting at Monmouth University. Those fresh brains over there at Monmouth are lucky kids. They got to have Professor Staggs working with them. So congratulations to them. Doug, thanks again for being here. Let's get into the weeds a little bit on some things that are going on right now that you've been keeping up with that we need to know about as we do a little tax planning.
Well, the thing that's, I think, relevant to this week, we go back to school. Our school opens tomorrow. Many schools are already open. So what's that have to do with small employers? Well, if you have somebody working for you who's in school, they're finishing up their undergraduate, or maybe you've been smart enough to send them back to get an MBA or some kind of a master's degree, or even beyond that, you can subsidize or pay for their tuition. A lot of people don't realize this. There's an Internal Revenue Code Section 127. Now, let me stop for a minute, Jim. If it's continuing education, if you run a law firm and you're sending people to go to their CLE, continuing legal education,
right,
or you're a construction company and send somebody to a meeting where there's some education or a course
running about bidding or whatever.
Whatever it is, management, something like that. That, of course, the company can pay for, and all the transportation and the books, computers, so forth. But I'm talking about today, somebody who, say they have a bachelor's degree and now they want to get an MBA. You can pay up to $5,000, important number here, $5,250. Even if it's leading to a degree, even if it's not leading for a degree. We did something crazy at our firm a number of years ago. I said, accountants are dull. I will pay for anybody who goes and takes a non-accounting course. Go take an English literature course. Go take a theater course, a music course, an astronomy course. Open up your brain a little bit. Read some stuff other than just playing with numbers. And you can pay for that. And let's say that somebody's doing an MBA and they're spending $10,000, and you decide, okay, I'll pay the whole $10,000. Good for you. Congratulations. The first $5,250 is fully tax-free to the employee. The whole $10,000 is deductible to the employer. So the last $4,750 does go on the employee's W-2. So what? I teach my students all the time. Wouldn't you rather pay tax on money than have to
So if somebody has a really sharp key person that they would like to maybe send them back to college and get a degree or something like that. They think this person over the next 20 years could really benefit from a little bit higher education or maybe something technical or something like that.
This is a
way of doing. But without 127, are you saying since it benefited the company, it wouldn't have been deductible?
That's right. So you've got to do it through 127. And a little glitch here that you can turn around and make an advantage. People say, well, if I offer it to Joe, then I got to do it to everybody else in my company. What you do, you offer it. And so we offer this, but you've got to apply. It's like a scholarship. You can actually set up, you can call it the Blasingame Scholarship Program if you want to. And have a committee, and if you're smart, you don't put the owner on the committee to decide who gets quote, the scholarship. But better off just apply it to people, or say anybody wants to go get an MBA at a certain school, or any school they want to go to, or a community
could this
college.
Could this be done for a family member, but they'd have to be an employee?
The key question. If the family member is over 21.
Okay.
So if you bring in your undergraduate college graduate that just finished in May with a bachelor's degree, and they're 22 years old, you can send them back to their master's degree, even though they work for you part-time.
But they do have to be a W-2 employee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can't just do it for your favorite kid.
All right. So tell us about there's some immigrant stuff going on that you had on your mind, too.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, and this started to come up in the Trump campaign. He set it aside a little bit because it makes some people upset. But one of the things that very much upset me is, wait a minute, I've worked for 50-some years, and I've got a bunch of money in my Social Security that I'll probably never get out anywhere near what I put in. And if I understand it correctly, this came up about a year ago, one of the president's things that he passed through, one of his proclamations is, oh, Well, these people, even if they're illegal, if they're working and they get a Social Security number or substitute ID number, which is now hard to get for the record,
right?
But they're entitled to Social Security.
Hmm.
Now, that's the bad news. The good news is they still, just like you and me, Jim, have to have 10 years paid in. But mm-hmm. you take a guy that's 50 years old who snuck in or somehow got in here illegally. He works for 10 years. And
he's still illegal.
Same social, yeah, right, but they can collect the same Social Security. Oh,
huh.
And they get Medicare, too.
Huh.
So the trick for them to do is come over here when they're about 55, you know, work under the radar, but then finally get on somebody's payroll, get the applicable numbers, get 10 years of service, and they collect
the
same.
How can they collect the check from the government if they're not even legal?
Well, that's the whole point.
Because if they're legal, how do they even have a Social Security number?
Well,
if they're illegal.
They come in on a work, some kind of a temporary work
just
visa.
Just a visa.
And that's where they start, and they stay beyond. They let the visa expire. So, and it's really very simple politics.
How much is that of this is going on?
Millions.
Really?
Yeah, there are 11 million people eligible for this.
Wow.
So if that doesn't upset you,
that's real money. That's real money, isn't it?
It's your money and my money, unfortunately. But why does the politician do this? Because it gets votes.
Yeah.
Real simple. I mean,
the political class is going to be the end of America.
Yeah, you were talking offline with me before. Is that, you know, people are saying, well, you know, Hillary's not going to get elected now. Yes, she is, because any of those people who are getting mm-hmm. a check every month, which is what now 53% of the population, they don't even listen to the campaign.
That's part of the strategy.
Whoever's going to keep that check?
That's
coming
a big
in.
Part of President Obama's strategy. There's no.
Well, I saw it last week in Greece.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. I'm going to get you to bring that up when we come back here with these messages. Doug just got back from Greece, and we're going to give us a little travelogue on what he found over there. Might not be as what you think. Stay with us. Tintail.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.